Hello there, loyal listeners and those new to the Martineau Show. Welcome to another episode in the Sounds for Silence series, where we delve a little deeper into the world of acoustics. Today, we're talking to Philip Deneux, the founder of Acoustica, and we will discover a little of its history and discuss some of the wonderful acoustic products created and sourced by Philippe and his team. Please enjoy.
Philippe speaking.
Hello there, Philippe. It's Martin O'Neill.
Yes, Martin.
Tell me, Philippe, how did Acoustica come to be? I mean, it's your company, isn't it?
That is correct, yes. I started the company after developing some product for a large Australian company at the time. And when the company sold all the group to a private entity, then I decided to start my own and to work in acoustic, where I was developing some material for that other company. So when I was working in Australia, I was working for a large Australian group called LNC. And that group had different division, and I was employed to develop some new product for them. And one of them, because they had a division doing metal perforators, I thought about acoustics, because the old way to treat a room with acoustics was to do metal tray perforated for ceilings, to get the absorption behind. And so I developed a whole series of new material for them. And when the company was bought over and closed their doors, I decided to continue to develop acoustic material. And that's how I started.
And what year was that, Philippe?
Oh, that was about 32 years ago.
So 30 years ago. Yeah, well, that's probably about when I started in my career in the film industry, but it's led me on a long journey along the way as well.
So yes.
It's funny how life does that to you.
Yes, of course.
So when you started with, was it Acoustica from the beginning? Was that the name you had from the start?
Yes. I mean, it was LD first, but then quickly I changed to Acoustica.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. And this was in Australia. Obviously, you'd come out here
in
France.
In Australia, yes. Yeah. Because before that, I was working in metallurgy, in welding procedures, and quite different.
Okay, this is cool. So what caused the leap? I mean, that's quite a long way.
Yes, I was sent in Australia under a 3 years visa to develop some new products for different companies. And after my visa ran out, I decided to stay in Australia. And when I worked with that company and developing products for them, that's how I came into the acoustic field.
Fantastic. So what were the first acoustic products that you created then?
The first acoustic product was a modular system to install around presses for big, large presses to doing metal perforators, metal forming, the auto industry and that type of thing.
Okay, so much the industry rather than, say...
Yeah, very, very big industry,
Because obviously my bias is towards performance spaces where sound is essential. I mean, sound's the heartbeat of them.
That's how
I came to know your company quite some time ago now, actually. There you have it.
But, right.
So the one that I've came to you from discovering was your Quiet Wave. Can you tell me a little bit more about that and how it came to be?
Yes. So Quiet Wave came to be one day I was to go back to Europe. And I was sitting in the plane, very close to the reactor, the engines. And I thought, oh, gee, that's, the engine we know are very, very noisy. And just close by in the cabin, you are just about aware of it. So I decided to investigate the technology that was used in planes to stop basically noise. And I discovered that it was mainly basically two skins of aluminium with a viscoelastic membrane sandwiched between in the skin. And that then works in the vibration generated into the aluminium skin is if you want, applied with a brake with that viscoelastic, which is sandwich. And I thought, oh, why not doing that in construction industry, like in between plasterboard or plywood or FC sheeting and things like that. So when I came back to Australia, we tried to do the same using plasterboard, and it really worked. You know, so we came here, you know, with a design of a very low mass type of product, and achieving the same amount of sound transmission loss than very heavy material like brick walls, double brick, and so on.
Now, tell me if I'm correct here. So what you're doing with this system is you're converting a sound wave into a heat form. Is that how it dissipates?
Yeah, basically it's a transformation of energy, of vibration, because the noise wave makes the first layer of plasterboard vibrate, and then you got a little delay before it goes into the membrane, which is the quiet wave. And again, a bit of delay before it's transmitted again to the second layer of plasterboard. And because you got those delays, the plasterboard move into sideways because it's attached with screws. So it cannot really move up and down. If you like, it moves sideways. And the membrane, which is in between, acts like a brake. And breaking vibration, you create energy in the thermal energy, and so you got a change of energy there from vibration to thermal, if you like.
Yeah, that's what I understood.
And that's how it works. Yeah.
And so I believe that you've got a product, and this is kind of one that's relatively new to me and quite interesting, which is using the same viscoelastics in curtains or behind curtains to achieve, you know, 5 or 10 or 15.
Yeah, that's a bit of another principle. The quiet wave works being sandwiched between construction board, so actually you don't have to worry about gaps in the quiet wave or anything like that, because you still break that vibration. In curtains, it acts a bit. It's very difficult to generate a standing wave in something which is amorph, like those type of material. So if you try to make a viscoelastic material vibrate, the vibration dies very quickly. You know, it's like a piece of lead. And that's why if you got a big sheet of lead and you go with a hammer against it, it does boom, and that's it. The vibration doesn't go on and on and on. Like if you had a piece of steel, a sheet of steel, or another material like copper or bronze, the vibration is going for a long, long time.
Yeah. Like a gong or a cymbal or equivalent.
Exactly. So, and that's how it works. It works differently. But again, then the quiet wave or that viscoelastic membrane cannot have any holes into it, so that the noise or vibration goes through the holes, if you like.
How, when you say holes, I mean, is this as small as the puncture you might get from a sewing machine needle, or does it have to be greater than
that? No, that doesn't matter. You know, the holes are mainly for the very high frequencies, but very, very high frequencies are easy to stop. And you need quite a big hole to have the medium and low frequency going through. Mm.
So, of course, low frequencies are the hard one. And this is possibly one of the ones that most affects dance studios, for example, where you've got footfall transmission and whatnot to other environments. And certainly we've found in practice that the wonderful design that you guys have come up with, the quiet wave and a twin wall with a insulation in between has, and the decoupling of the studs works extraordinarily well.
And we can achieve on a normal stud construction, even single stud with two layers of 10 mil plasterboard on both sides, with the quiet wave sandwich between the layers, we achieved the same as a brick wall of three or four bricks, noise.
Yeah, that's great. But what about footfall? Yeah. I mean, obviously you've got angel step. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that and the best ways to achieve control of that.
Yeah, angel step, it's again developed through in our little lab. But we got maybe 10 different angel step, all depends of the base floor. So, for example, if you got a concrete slab and you want to install ceramic tiles, then we use an angel step with a viscoelastic membrane attached to it to do the same, or to achieve the same basically as a quiet wave in walls. If you are just installing an engineered floor, like a clip type of flooring, like a timber or bamboo or something like that, then we only work on a resilient system to take the impact of the footfall and to, again, work like a spring, if you like, and to take the energy of the movement of that floor before it hits the concrete floor and so on. So we got different systems, different depending of the thickness of the concrete slab. If it's a timber floor and timber joists, we got other materials, angel step. So, you know, we have to analyze every floor to come with the best result, of course, and then we choose the material we need. Yeah,
I see. So obviously you've developed or innovated most of these products yourself, which is commendable.
Yes.
How has that come about? I mean, do you have a philosophy or a design ethos that you bring to that, or is it just problems to be solved and you solve them? Tell me a little about that.
Yeah, it's walking the dog. I always come with some ideas.
Well, there's the dog. Yes, the Dalmatian dog.
Yeah, that's why we do about four or six walks a day. And that's how, you know, I think about a bit. Because I don't come from the acoustic side of things. I come completely different field in engineering. I tend to think a bit in parallel, you know, to come with a novel idea or other ideas that I try then and see how it works. So in a way, we are very practical to see how it works on site. And that's why it's also good we got an install team and we can test things on site in the real world. You know, come with different ideas and different way of doing things and so on. Yeah.
Well, that's very good for all of us, including the dog. Now, has the Dalmatian, obviously not the same one, been there from the beginning, or has there been a series of stars?
The third one.
Okay.
This is the third one.
And what's his name?
This one is Cleopatra. Before it was Pollux, and before that was Ramses.
Fantastic.
Ramses the third.
Oh, okay. All right. why the Egyptian bias, out of interest?
Oh, just to have something a bit different again.
No, I like it. So yeah. of all the problems you've solved, or of all the products you've developed, which ones do you find the most, or had given you the most satisfaction?
Oh, certainly the Quiet Wave is a very satisfactory product and used now in Europe and so on. And now it looks like all our flooring products are going really well. Again, we are differentiated by a lot of people who use just a bit of closed cell foam, you know, and products like that, that after a year or so, a bit of weight on it and all the cells collapse, and then the product is losing the resilience, but our material are really designed for the life of the building, and you can really load a lot of loads on it, and it still behaves after years and years of usage.
That's really good. So for our international listeners, and hopefully there will be a few, there has been on previous podcasts, where would they find your products internationally if they were to go look in Europe and perhaps the USA as well?
Yeah, we didn't approach the US market, but in Europe we got a startup called Home Elias, which is starting manufacturing or green side of the product, and then we got distributors, which is starting also. It is start in Germany, and we got an exhibition in UK next month to launch our new material over there.
Fantastic. I'll get some details of those from you, Philippe, maybe as an email.
I can certainly email you the details.
Pop them into the show notes, which is where people can best get in touch with you. Now, obviously, the green aspect of what you're doing, which is, close to my heart and a very contemporary plus, is a very high degree. How did you come to be there? Was it, again, by demand, or was it by...
when we developed the quiet wave for plasterboard, we realized all the manufacturers of plasterboard, of course, they show the green credential because it's only a bit of plaster mixed with water, basically, and so they say they are very green. And coming with another product which is not as green was a bit of a problem. So with our chemist, we decide, okay, let's develop a completely green product. And so we came up with a 30% water-based product, which you reuse, some part of the food industry and some part we are discarded after manufacturing. We are very green, fireproof, and that's what we developed. And we won the new inventors a few years ago with that one.
Oh, which one was that?
That was a green material, and we won the new inventors with that material about the last year when the new inventors was on television.
Fantastic! That's commendable. And
we came as a finalist there.
All right. Well, look, I might wind it up there. There's plenty of fabulous stuff in that.
I hope you enjoyed this interview with Philippe. He's really a wonderful character, and the Acoustica range of products are all first class. Should you wish to purchase any of these, a complete catalogue is available on the STM website, and you can see the show notes for a direct path for the details of that. If you mention this podcast to either the staff at Acoustica, or at STM for that matter, you can get a 10% discount off the listed prices. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Sounds for Silence. Please share with your friends, and if you're new to the Martineau Show, please don't forget to press subscribe. I'm really looking forward to talking with you next week, or soon at least, when we can try to share more solutions for performance spaces with you. Till then, bye for now.